This is Rating Descending,
where we watch IMDb's Worst 250 so you don't have to.
My name is Abigail Ward.
My name's Michelle St. Clair.
And this week we watched 11-11-11. After the death of his wife and child, an author travels to Barcelona to see his estranged brother and dying father, where he learns that his life is plagued by events that occur on 11-11-11. Let's watch!
I mean, technically, they're just plagued by events that happen on 11-11.
Yeah.
Only one event happens on 11-11-11.
Well, don't shoot the messenger.
Oh, sorry. Spoilers.
Michelle, I have a question to ask you.
I love it when you
first of all,
ask
hi,
me
how are you? How
hi,
are you feeling?
Yeah,
like,
I'm good.
How's your life going? Okay, let's skip that. Let's
sorry,
skip.
Everyone, that
shut
we
up.
Didn't have an episode last
shut
week.
Shut up.
Okay, well.
Shut up.
I mean,
up.
We had a bonus episode.
Shut up. God, shut up.
All right. Fine.
Where are you up to in Succession?
Ah.
Mmm.
Season 3, episode 2.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What did you think of the season 2 finale?
Ooh,
ooh,
baby.
Girl. Please note that there may be Succession spoilers, potentially. You can skip for the next 2 or 3 minutes.
I mean, this specific thing is spoiler-free, but the last shot of season 2, oh. You could end the show there. That was so fucking perfect. Absolutely perfect.
The season 2
killer
finale.
Ending.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I love that bit where Tom and Shiv are on the beach together and he tells her he's not happy. And
yeah.
Just the
fucking Tom Wamsgans, man.
Yeah, and the struggle of their open relationship that was founded on mutual distrust rather than an actual wanting to be open.
I loved getting to see Tom stand up for himself.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. Guy's gonna make it.
And Kendall rebuilding himself as a character. And just that bit where he says, like, you're not a killer.
Yeah.
If you want to do this, you need to be a killer.
Yeah.
And I love that it kind of also ties into the fact that at the end of season one, like, this isn't what Logan's referencing, but also it makes you think about how the fact that in a way Kendall is a killer because he killed a boy at the end of season one.
Yeah.
Like, he caused the death of a boy.
But he kind of is referencing that, like, thematically.
Exactly. Thematically.
Because that kind of killing doesn't, like, it tells you so much about Logan that he's like, you're not a killer, even though he caused. Well, I mean, that's also, I think, the interesting thing about the end of season one. This is now hardcore spoilers. Is that Kendall is responsible for getting that guy high and also for driving. It's such a specific and important choice that we see the waiter be the one to pull the wheel that causes them to crash.
Yes.
And that we see Kendall dive down to try and get it.
Because you know that it wasn't really Kendall's fault. It was a horrible, horrible happenstance.
But then he doesn't tell anyone.
Exactly. And that's when it becomes an issue. And that's the bad choice he made.
It's so specific how they want you to know exactly what the social crime is.
And the thing is, because he didn't tell everyone, no one will know what happened in that car except him and that boy that died at the bottom of that lake, which means no one would ever believe him if he said, I really didn't, like, I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
You know, technically, he was behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so
well, I mean, he was driving while high, you know. Like,
yeah.
That was still bad and irresponsible.
Yeah, but it's so good. I'm so glad you're watching it. I'm loving, because I'm still, I know Succession ended over a week ago now. No, now just under a week. Under a week? Must have been under a week.
I have no idea.
I
want to make sure, by the way, that people don't know when to chime back in. So I'm just going to say the word Succession every like 30-ish seconds so that if they're skipping forward, they'll still hear.
Spoiler.
Succession.
Spoiler.
In Succession.
Spoiler.
Shiv Roy.
It's been about a week since the show came to an end, and I'm still deep in the Succession world, the Succession fantasy, and all I'm getting on TikTok is Succession edits of like Tom Wamsgans, like wearing great clothes and saying something fucked up and then strutting down a hallway. I'm so into it.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave.
I don't want it to end.
And also, I love that Sarah Snook is, I feel like everyone knows she's Australian, but once you just see her speaking with her natural accent, it's such a fucking, people freak out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of Americans who are chronically online get shockingly surprised when people aren't American.
Yeah, yeah.
In general. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I imagine that must be quite traumatic for them.
Mm, 100%.
You know? Even though in universe, they're already like half English, half Scottish.
And I genuinely think that the fact that the show wasn't created by an American, nor does it only like cast Americans, is what makes it feel more sophisticated. And I honestly, I'm sorry, but I stand by that. I feel like if it was an American showrunner, the tone would be entirely different. And the reason that Succession was mind-blowing is that Jesse Armstrong brought British dryness to an American TV format.
Mm.
And that's what fucked everyone up. The handheld cameras, the fast like repartee, the improv. But again, it's never... It's a very dry show, and that's unusual for American sitcoms. Well, just American TV in general.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited to watch Barry, but I know it's going to lack that British dry edge.
Oh, it's pretty dry.
Is it?
I think so. It's got some sillies, but I wouldn't say it's any, like, more...
Some goofs.
I mean, so does Succession. Absolutely. Succession has lines like, it could be an attack child and stuff. Barry's that goofy.
You can't make a tomlet without breaking a few Gregs.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you so much for reminding me about that line. Every day was that was the email.
You sent 68 emails over the course of two days, and two of those emails did not have the subject. If you want to make a tomlet, you've got to break a few Gregs.
Incredible. If my boss sent me that and my name was Greg and his name was Tom, I understand Greg because I wouldn't know what to do with it myself. Yes. I would just be like, okay.
Well, in the way that you attempted to do Minecraft updates for me when I was playing Minecraft not long ago.
Oh, yeah.
I want Succession updates with you. But also, I can give you Stardew Valley updates.
Well, I mean, I was trying to pimp those out. And after a while, your updates were like, yeah, I kept playing. So maybe we should I can't sprinkle the Succession theme in and still have ads play on the podcast ever. Just do it a bit
like a key off. It's too similar.
I'm so glad we're talking about the show now that it's finished. We're so up to date, we're hip, we're to the minute. We're with it, kids.
Well, I finished it, Michelle.
We're sitting here with our hands crossed.
But Stardew Valley update for me.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Now a Stardew millionaire.
Hey,
I know.
A Julianaire. What? Stallionaire.
Well, because I'm a Quartian Jew.
No!
I'm a Julianaire.
No!
You think being a millionaire makes me greedy?
I just explode.
No, I literally only just got across to Ginger Island.
What the fuck is Ginger Island?
In Stardew Valley?
Yeah.
Ginger Island.
What the fuck is Ginger Island?
You didn't go to Ginger
Island?
Is that
one of the things they added? Okay, because I played in the 1.4 update, and I heard the 1.5 was huge and added a bunch of stuff.
It's probably Ginger Island.
Wow.
So Willy has a boat out the back of his shop.
Willy.
Do you remember like how he's got a door?
Yeah.
And it's always locked.
Yeah.
Well, at a certain level, it's unlocked. I think you have to like get to a certain level of friendship with him.
This is the 1.5 update.
And then you have to basically donate a certain amount of materials to restore the boat, and he'll take you across to Ginger Island.
Cool.
They have the volcano mines.
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure you can get tropical fruit because I happened to pick up some pineapple seeds.
Ooh.
And I think they've also got like mangoes and bananas. So I'm fucking excited.
That's cool. Are there any hot redheads? Say some sexy...
There was a redheaded boy that runs away when you get to the island. It's a child. What? I'm pretty sure it's a child in a tree with red hair.
Fuck.
Yeah, that's fucked up, Michelle.
Shit, just fucking cut it.
You can pick up golden coconuts there and golden walnuts as well.
That's cool. Yeah, I can't eat that, though.
The walnuts are like a currency. And the coconuts are like geodes that you break open because they're golden. You're not meant to eat them. The golden walnuts you trade for things on the island.
Why is it a walnut then? If it's just money, why gold coins or circles are so much easier to make than a walnut?
It's
a
farming game. It's cute to make it food. And then the golden coconuts fall from trees and you break them open like geodes. It's fun. It's fun.
Look at all the fun I'm having.
Oi. It's fun.
Look, I got entrapped. Having a great time. I suffered entrapment about the redheaded child. So,
you here to meet a 7-year-old redheaded child on Ginger Island?
No,
motherfucker.
I thought he had a golden walnut.
You said he was 12.
No, that would mean I know that it's a crime.
Yes.
Fuck.
That's the joke.
I fucking Michelle. Got caught again.
Oh my God.
Ah.
Oh. Speaking of getting got, every week I get got by this podcast because this week we watched 11-11-11.
Yeah.
And I feel trapped, caught, and ensnared.
I feel like the listeners of this podcast, like, obviously, whenever we do a movie like this, you know, there's less downloads because who cares about this compared to, like, Street Fighter, right? But
yeah,
I feel like the people
who the fucks watch this?
The people who do listen are interested in what I would think of as the social equivalent of Saw.
Oh, no, I think the people, sorry, I think the people that do listen are, like, deeply disturbed individuals that just need to get a hope. Don't be here right
I
now.
I think they're incredible and should all talk to their friends.
You're worth more than listening to this episode. You know, go out, enjoy your day. You don't need to be here with us.
Well, this is conflicting because I do think you're worth a lot. Maybe not more than listening.
So you're saying that... Yeah, they don't. They don't mean anything.
Advertisers are pulling out. All right, after the redheaded child thing, they're pulling out. We can't tell people to leave.
That's right. No, guys, it's going to be a amazing episode.
There you go. That's the moneymaker.
Yeah,
the
burps. It's what's keeping people around.
Burps literally go into most of our descriptions of the podcast, thanks to your brute force.
Yeah, lots of burp discussions, cum discussions, and titty discussions, and milk discussions.
Oh yeah, I could jot more if you want.
Let's. Oh, we don't need to go back to jotting.
You may laugh now. There we go. 11-11-11. I'm so keen to talk about it because the first thing I have in my notes when watching it is, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. I would be telling you a lie if I didn't say, if I didn't admit to the fact that I kind of like looked up the synopsis like 4 times just to check what was going on, if I was still following it.
Smart. Good
and,
idea.
And the synopsis still didn't make it completely clear to me.
I actually fully think the last 5 minutes, I genuinely think I finally got what was going on, and I even have in my notes, oh, I get it, it's dumb. But I do think this is the most confused I've been while we've been watching a movie since The Last Thing He Wanted, which was truly baffling.
Oh, God, you remember me, that episode. This didn't make me as angry as The Last Thing He Wanted.
Yeah, well, because that was an episode of us just trying to figure out what the fuck was going on.
Oh, and I think I had that episode too, and that's what also enraged me.
Maybe.
I think I had that one, because I think I remember talking about the director and how let down I felt when I did the research into her. And
that's right, yeah, because you were like, it's my episode, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, and look, similar vibes tonight. Yeah. Like, I know it's my episode, I will struggle with you. And it's another thing, like, the other film, what was it called? The Last Thing He Wanted?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where it was just really pompous as well. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was making this big, grandiose, like, theological statement about religion. It was just...
It like many 13-year-olds, it thought it was the first person to ever think of religion bad as a concept. Or like, what if a priest was evil?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that? Man.
Oh my God. What if someone that you thought was a saint was actually the devil?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty good. And then at the end, you're like, you spend a bit going like, maybe he Jesus, and then he has black eyes.
And then you're like, oh, spooky. No, he not Jesus.
Spooky.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh, gotcha. Oh,
and
gotcha.
Then I call Claude. I'm like, take me home. I am so scared from this movie.
Please, I am so scared. Home. But then he has black eyes. He's the devil.
Ah.
Or a bad guy at the very least. It's not
just a bad
dude. It's not clear.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's basically it, is that like he thinks his brother... is the savior and a prophet. Oh no, he's not. He's a spooky demon devil at the end, and religion is bad. God doesn't exist, but Satan does.
Well, but I think God does, because the spooky ghoul boys, who I think were called Midwayers, we think, oh, they're not angels, like it says in the books. They're demons, because they look ugly.
But it turns out...
they are angels.
They're angels.
Angels are ugly.
Yes, angels are terrifying.
They're really scary, and they don't communicate well. Mm. They just have big knives and try to kill your brother. But it's for good.
It's
your
for,
brother
for
sucks.
Good reasons.
Your immaculately conceived brother sucks.
I just, with this fucking guy being like, I want to make a film exploring like my distaste for religion. So I'm going to do that by having several on the nose talks about why don't you believe anymore? I feel like there is no God. You have no faith. I never had faith. Like that's, what was the point?
The guy also gives a lot of voiceovers that I really thought for a second were read out by Stephen Wright.
Oh, the comedian.
Yeah.
It was so monotonous.
So monotonous and deadpan.
Yeah.
I'm here in Barcelona. My brother's here. I think he might be a prophet, but who knows?
It was terrible voiceovers, but I will say the thing I like about voiceovers like that is that it feels like it's a noir film, even though this film was not. It gave me the hint of the noir genre, and I like that.
Also, this film had a lot of lighting.
It did.
Right? At nighttime, I could largely see things.
Yes.
That's pretty good for some of the movies in this list.
Well, you can cut this out, but I felt like Jeepers Creepers was really terrible in terms of lighting. So I think you're right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of it was at daytime, but at nighttime.
Yeah, but the bits at night, at the beginning, I was like, what the fuck's going on? Yeah. I mean, do you want some key details about this riveting, fantastic, iconic film? We're going to have such a good time, guys.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. People who are listening, you're like, fuck, it's going to be one of these episodes. I'll listen out of, like, a sense of obligation or whatever. And then now you're here, you're like, fuck, the pump is up. The tunes are jamming. Oh, my God.
Here, how about, listeners, we will entice you into staying for this episode because at the end of it, we will both tell you a secret about ourselves.
Oh, we will?
We will.
Okay.
You've got to think of one.
Do I have to really tell a secret? Yes. Abby? I put my hand next to my mouth so that they can't hear.
Do I really have to tell a secret?
I don't really have to tell a secret, though,
Tell a secret, but you can also make it up if you want.
Yeah, okay. That'll be cool.
You have to just say whatever the fuck you want.
We won't tell them, though.
I might tell a secret.
No, I mean, we won't tell them that we made it up.
Oh, yeah, but I think I might tell a real secret.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That'll be cool. I'm keen to know a secret.
Maybe you should tell a real secret.
I'll stick around.
Okay, all right.
I was gonna go, but...
So, this film was written and directed by Darren Lynn Bousman.
Okay.
He directed four of the Saw films. He directed two, three, and four.
Oh, my God. That's a terrible four to have done.
He is also technically a member of the unofficial Splat Pack, a term coined by film historian Alan Jones in Total Film Magazine for the modern wave of directors making brutally violent horror films. The other directors would include Alexandra Aja, Neil Marshall, Adam Green, Greg McLean, Eli Roth.
Of course. James Wan, I fucking knew he was going to be in it. Oh, James Wan.
Lee Whannell and Rob Zombie.
Oh, yeah.
The Splat Pack.
I'm glad we just stopped adding just pack to everything. There was a real... Because, like, obviously there was the original Rat Pack. And then I feel like in the 90s to the 2000s, we really started going ham on all the packs.
The Brat Pack was 80s.
Yeah, was the term coined in the 80s?
Yeah.
Okay.
They had the Brat Pack because the Rat Pack was around. And then they went to the Frat Pack in the 2000s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now you've got the Splat Pack.
The Splat Pack.
I'm okay with the packs. You know, I'm all right with it as a tradition.
I feel like... You know, a lot of the Frat Pack, the original Rat Pack, they at least were friends. The Frat Pack is the only one of the packs since that I feel really has much actual history together that warrants being in a pack.
Well, that's true. The Splat Pack, none of them work together. They're just a collection of directors. It's not like they're mates that make films
together. It's just a bunch of guys.
That's true. At least the Frat Pack, it was like they were all buddies that worked on SNL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, And it was usually either Adam Sandler or Ben Stiller wanted to make a movie and they hired all their friends and some of them knew each other.
And then out of those two groups of friends, one was clearly better than the other.
Well, yeah, but that's a different...
Do you want to watch an Adam Sandler film where he pulls in Rob Schneider or do you want to watch a Ben Stiller film where he pulls in Owen Wilson? I think I know which one I'm choosing.
You can do it.
Although saying that, 50 First Dates was a pretty fucking good movie.
Yeah, it's all right.
We did watch Real Rob. When it came out as a show, God. Remember that, Michelle?
Well, yeah, we could do a bonus episode of Real Rob because that movie was that show.
There were so many elements to that show that made it horrific, and we were obsessed with it. Like, it wasn't even the scripting. Like Rob Schneider's like horrible personality, just like put on show
that he is clearly convinced is incredibly charming,
and he thinks it's so funny that he's an irritable guy. But it was also just the actual visuals of it. It was so orange and blue.
So
I remember it being horrific looking. There were various shots where he looked orange. Like the coloring was terrible.
Fully, you kind of have to squint at it.
Yeah. And then there's like his wife in real life is this Mexican woman that basically got her break on Real Rob.
Yeah.
And she's a terrible actress. Their relationship's awful to watch.
You really root for divorce when you watch that show.
100%.
There's no greater hero than the concept of divorce.
Real Rob is meant to be the show. We've really gotten sidelined by Real Rob, but it really was meant to be the show about how he's a washed up, like his career has gone down the drain hole and he's trying to get it back on track. So you think that his self-awareness would save it, but no. Most of the show is really about how annoying it is to be a celebrity and how everyone just wants a piece of you all the time.
It was a show that was designed to show you not just Rob Schneider the persona. It would peer behind the veil and see the real Rob. And it really kind of makes the point that a veil and a public persona is a really gifted thing for a lot of people because they're actually intolerable.
Yes. Yes. The scenes of him pressuring his wife to have sex with him when she's not in the mood were a particular highlight for me.
Pretty funny, though.
So funny, because women never want to give it up.
And there's his assistant who tries really hard, but Rob hates it.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
And his assistant is just I think his personality trait is one, and it's just stupid.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Pretty funny.
Pretty funny.
Pretty funny, though. He also loves juice and seems really into alternative medicine.
Wow, you remembered more about the show than I thought you would.
Oh, I think about that show every day.
I do think I've probably brought it up in the last year like 5 times. So I guess I never really forgot it either, did I?
I do think sometimes, but each of us say things on this podcast that prove why we're making it.
We've always had a passion for bad content.
Yeah.
We did rewatch like the Real Rob pilot for some reason like 3 times.
Because just we kept wanting to show it to people. Yeah. We're like, look at this.
Yeah, and then we're like, wow, we've spent like collectively like 3 hours on the pilot of Real Rob.
Yeah, and every time they were like, this is awful.
We're like, uh-huh. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
The best moments of our friendship have been bonding over bad content.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, just another key detail, this film was called, in America, 666 The Prophecy.
But it's, okay.
But there's nothing about 666. I know there's, like, it's the devil.
The devil.
But there, it's not like pretty the number scary. Is 666 that he's seeing. It's 11-11-11.
Yeah. Well, again, it's just 11-11. This is a thing that I'm going to keep going back to.
But it's all leading up to 11-11-11.
Yeah. The final moment is 11-11-11. But also, I think it's funny because he repeatedly says that he's seeing 11-11 everywhere. He's actually just seeing 11 everywhere.
Who? Oh. Hang on. I think...
Abby's eyes rolled in the back of her head when she did that. I need everyone to know.
Here's the overview. Forgive me if it's not great. I struggled.
Yeah. I mean, I again wrote in my notes, am I stupid? Why can I not follow this?
The successful American writer and atheist Joseph Crone participates in a support group to accept the death of his wife, Sarah, and their son, David. Joe befriends Sadie in one of these meetings, and she helps him when he has a car accident. When Joe's estranged religious brother, Samuel, tells him that their father is terminally ill, he travels to Barcelona to stay near the deathbed of his father. Joe has visions of demons and the numbers 11-11.
Yeah.
Joseph visits... There's a lot that happens, but I'm trying to just get to the crux of it all from this point onwards, okay, guys?
He keeps seeing some spooky ghoul boys.
Shots of him seeing spooky things. He visits an occult bookstore where and also there's lots of drab conversations about faith and religion and what it could all mean. And I don't know how to summarize that shit.
Oh, and his brother's in a wheelchair.
Joseph visits an occult bookstore where he reads a passage from a book detailing that on the 11th of November, 2011, a sacrifice will be made that will destroy faith and the serpent will rise.
Classic.
Joseph becomes convinced that Samuel is a prophet to save the church. And that on November 11th, 2011, at 11:11, Samuel will be sacrificed by these demons for the devil to rise. Joe sacrifices himself for his brother, getting stabbed in the side. As he begins to die, Samuel tells Joseph that 11:11 was a window closing and that the end of the world could only be stopped then. Joe finds out he knew this all along. He leaves his brother Joe to die after revealing that, in fact... he was the devil that needed to be stopped.
Nice.
Sometime later, a large church is filled with Samuel's followers, each bearing a book titled The Book of Joseph.
Well, because he's an author.
Yeah, because he's an author.
And then he had a journal that he was writing through the movie, and then Sam's like...
they became
like,
the Gospels, essentially, all of the books.
He's like, I'm going to make your book into a Bible.
And then notably as well, at the end, he's standing and he's not in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Spooky.
Miracles.
Spooky.
Spooky. Pretty scary.
Forgive me if that was a bad overview. It was a tough one to write.
It was,
because when these are really long, like, pseudo-intellectual films that are also horror films, it's just a lot of people staring at shit and it being like...
Yeah, it's sort of... Most of the scenes are either Joe looks at someone whilst he ponders, Joe is writing a book while he ponders, or Joe sees a little blobby shape... that then isn't there when he looks again.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that with my cats. I think that my cats are like a little blobby shape and then I look and it's just like an
inanimate object. I mean, Casserole is just a blobby shape.
That's true, especially Casserole.
Yeah.
She's a very blobby shape.
And Bee has so much fluff that she is kind of blobby, but in a very different way.
I think I told you, because Bee is like my little fluffy gray cat.
Yeah.
And sometimes back in the day when we used plastic bags, they were all gray from the supermarket. And there was a morning where I was making something in the kitchen and I was chatting to Bee behind me and it turned out to just be a plastic bag in the corner.
She took that Katy Perry song to heart. Yeah.
That dude from American Beauty really fawned over her. Life's just so beautiful.
Ding, ding, ding. I don't remember how it goes, but, you know, Philip Glass.
Philip Glass?
Philip Glass.
What do you think of that?
Such a shame about Spicy. This is what I think every time I want to be like, I really like that movie.
So I wanted to raise as well, like, obviously people believe that there's a lot of meaning in numbers, and they kept talking about the meaning of, like, 11-11. Yeah. So I was looking up, like, what that meant as well. I think in the movie they, like, say, someone says that it's, like, meant to be hopeful, isn't it? Like, it's a sign of good luck at first, and then it changes, and it turns out it's something
you can't ask me to remember a single piece of dialogue. You can't do that. This is entrapment again.
Well, according to numerology, and also just to go back a bit further, just to explain... Numerology is the belief of an occult, divine, or mystical relationship between a number and one or more coinciding events.
Yeah.
In numerology, 11-11 is considered to be a significant moment in time for an event to occur.
Right.
It is seen as an example of synchronicity, as well as a favorable sign or a suggestion towards the presence of spiritual influence. It is additionally thought that the repetition of numbers in the sequence adds intensity to them and increases the numerological effect. So sometimes you see, I don't know if you've ever seen this online, where someone's like, oh my God, I keep seeing threes and fours everywhere because yeah. The threes and fours have a meaning.
The number 23, that was a movie, wasn't it? That was a horror movie that came in the early 2000s. Was it like fucking Jim Carrey or something? And then he keeps seeing the number 23 and it's pretty spooky.
Ooh, spooky as.
I didn't watch it. It seems pretty spooky.
Yeah.
You know?
I haven't heard of that film.
Jim Carrey seemed scared as heck. He kept seeing, you know, just lots of shots of him turning around and then the number 23 would be there and he'd go, ah!
That's terrifying.
I should apologize to my son.
Well, let's see. I'm just trying to find for us what other, you know, important numbers there are in numerology. Let's look it up. Important.
I like, though, how it was 11-11. I guess mostly because in our current calendar, like our clock and our dating system means that the only other sequence of four numbers you could see is 2222. But, you know, because the movie is more about 11-11, and I like that means the director just went like, what if there were two more ones?
Mm.
Pretty spooky.
Pretty spooky.
You thought 11-11 was big. What if there were two more ones? And also, those three sets of 11 were accompanied by a further two sets of 11 because it's the time. It was technically 11-11-11-11-11.
Yes, that's right. And the more of them there are, the more it intensifies it. Yeah. So how spooky is that?
I just think that was a less catchy title.
Yeah. Oh, you should have pushed for it, though. 100%.
Yeah, I did it.
So apparently... according to numerology, there are master numbers, and like these are twin digits, and the master numbers are 11, 22, and 33.
What?
Yeah, they command an extra strength presence in the cosmos.
The fuck? This is like the legendary birds in Pokemon. The legendary trio of numbers is 11, 22, and 33?
Yeah.
Why not 44?
Fuck that number,
That's another duo.
Even fucking bring up 44.
What about 55?
No!
66?
No, you're just getting further away from the master numbers.
There's nine sets of double numbers. Why just those three?
Disgusting, Michelle. Also, people with these super digits in their birth charts
super digits.
Often rise to be high decibel movers and shakers.
High decibel or high decimal?
High decibel.
That's even weirder. They're just loud?
They're just loud movers and shakers.
What does that mean?
They must have been high decimal.
What does that mean?
If you weren't anointed with a master number at birth, numerologists say that channeling the meaning of one or more of these potent integers. What's an integer?
It's a number. It's the quick way to explain. But like,
can inspire
three, a whole number. 3.4 is a number, but 3 is an integer.
Oh, right. Okay, got you. Yeah. Can inspire and elevate your life. So, Michelle, in your birthday, do you have a master number?
At any point. I was born at 11:47 p.m.
It's 11?
That's why I'm very loud.
You're a high decibel mover.
Yeah, I move around and I make a lot of noise because I was born at 11 p.m.
I don't have any of the master numbers in my birthday.
You suck.
I fucking suck, you balls. Bitch. You fucking bitch.
How fucking could you? You know how important this is to me, all right?
When doubled, as in, wait.
What do you mean when doubled? 11 doubled is 22. That's just a different one of the numbers.
Yeah, what the fuck? They're saying, they said when doubled, as in 11, 22, and 33.
What?
Wait, are they saying that the master numbers are 1, 2, and 3?
Oh.
And they just mistyped it at the beginning? This is a terrible article.
What is this? What are you explaining to me? I feel like the end of this is going to be like, and if there's a 44, don't get vaccinated.
If there's a 55, urinate on yourself to fix that disease.
66, talk to your kids about gender ideology and the Jewish space lasers.
Oh my goodness. Well, actually, no, it was 11 and 22 and 33. I think they were just, it's just a terrible
They're going through article. Something.
They are. I think anyone, no, that's mean to say. I won't. But anyone that's into numerology is going through something.
People need comfort and they find comfort in a lot of different things, and that's not always something that really makes a lot of sense. And that doesn't mean that they're evil for wanting comfort.
And the thing is, things are also just fun, you know?
Yeah.
Things are good fun. It's not like I necessarily believe in astrology, but I fucking love astrology. It's fun.
It seems funky, you know? I get a little wary when someone puts a lot of stock in it because I'm like, but it's so demonstrably not anything, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Especially because, of course, as we know, there is... at the very least of the stars, another star sign. Also, different cultures make different constellations out of the same stars.
Most things are just bullshit that we make up anyway. What's the difference?
Literally bright little dots in the sky, and then we play connect the dots, and then we pretend there's a drawing.
Yeah, 100%. And also, people are just like, oh my God, you believe in numerology? Anyway, I saw this fantastic film, and it was about so-and-so. Both of those things are made up. That's fine.
Well, wait, I think one...
one's a film, one's numerology, both made up.
No,
both made up.
No. You know what? It's not worth it.
You know what else is made up? The secret that I'm going to tell at the end of this podcast. That's made up. And you think that's stupid?
I'm glad you said that.
Nothing's stupid, and also everything's stupid.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A lot of things are made up. That's true.
Yeah.
We can make things up all the time. You know what else is made up? Plato. Not real. I'm not referring to the things
but
you make.
But if you believe in Plato... that's cool, man.
Yeah. I'm not referring to the things you make out of Plato. Plato's not real. Well, to be fair, it isn't. It's just a fucking, what, like a flour like a, it's just water. A flour. It's just a bunch of goo. It's just a bunch of dry goo. Plato is just a brand. You can make your own dry goo if you want.
Well, did your parents ever make you at home Plato?
No.
Oh, because you can get Plato out of
my
a tub.
My mum had a lot of on.
Yeah. My mum, but it's not hard. I think my mum was like, fuck buying that shit. I'll just make Play-Doh. So she'd buy food coloring and she'd just mix like flour and water together until it was like a hot dough. And then she'd put the food coloring in and then I could just play with it all day.
That sounds really cool. I made homemade goo several times and my mum hated it.
Was it like out of corn flour and water?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, slime?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I liked doing that. That was fun. My mum didn't like that I liked doing that because then I would get slime everywhere. And I'd be like, oh, you got slimed.
Oh, shout out to my friend Karina, big listener of this podcast.
Yeah.
First night I met her, she told me this great story about how she basically made a bath full of goo out of corn flour and water and just like rolled in it all night.
Oh, that sounds...
when she was on acid.
That sounds incredible.
And I couldn't believe it turned into goo when she told me. So I remember I ran to the kitchen and she showed me how to make it in a bowl and it was very exciting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's
anyway, that's made up.
Yeah, that's made up.
That whole story was made up.
You know what else is made up?
What?
Science.
The government.
The government.
Spiders.
When they try and tell me what to do, I'm like, excuse me, you made up.
I'm made up. My name's not Abigail Ward. My name's Ruth McDonald.
What?
Ruth McDonald.
You've been lying to me this whole time?
Wouldn't be the first time. Not going to be the last.
What an insane thing to say to me. What the fuck?
This whole friendship's built on lies.
It is?
Yeah.
What are the lies?
Like when I'm like,
please,
oh, Michelle,
you
you're
do
such
the heavy
a...
lifting in this
when
improv.
I'm like, oh, you're so funny. Like, I like you so
what
much.
What the
fuck? Oh, you're such a great friend.
Why are these the lies? Okay, you know what? I kind of deserve that for making you do the heavy lifting in this improv. But at the same time, that was hurtful and I did not like it.
I think it landed in that case. That was precisely my intention.
If your goal was to hurt my feelings, then you succeeded.
Good.
Madam.
Also, have you heard about, just on the topic as well, like angel numbers?
Oh my God. No, I haven't. Talk to me a bit more about fucking holy numbers.
Well, an angel number is basically like another series of numbers that are particularly lucky. And it's usually also like, as they say, like if it's 11, 11, that's an angel number because there's four ones. So a lot of the time 1111 is an angel number, as well as 2222 and 3333.
Okay.
I've even heard like 8888. So we're not talking about master numbers anymore.
No, master numbers. You know master numbers? Throw that out the door.
Yeah.
If you were giving a lecture, you know, someone had a textbook on master numbers, you'd rip it in half and say, forget all this.
100%. Let me just I'll quickly tell you some angel numbers, and then you can look out for some angel numbers in the future as
well.
What
do they do magically?
They make you happy.
That's it?
Happy, happy, happy.
So when I see 11, 11, 11, I'm like, oh!
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Like an angel.
But apparently, like, people just, if there's a string of particular numbers, people are like, holy shit. And there are some really big ones that people look out for.
Does it have to be 11, 11, 11? Or can it just be 11,111?
Wait, it should be in a sequence. Wait, it should be
111,111.
It should be one stacked on ones rather than anything getting in the way.
Well, that's, wait.
So it can be like a series. It can be like three ones in a row or five ones in a row. That's angel numbers. But if there's like another number in the middle, that ruins it.
No, but like 11, 11 is two 11s next to each other.
But technically they're four, right?
1,011 is four ones next to each other.
Yeah, the four ones next to each other will do.
That counts?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure. Is it, 'cause like that's why in the movie it works, because it's a date. So it's like, it is two 11s next to each other.
Basically, angel numbers are, if you see it's 11 minutes past 11, that those are angel numbers. If you see a figure that's 1,111, that's an angel number.
Okay, they're both angel numbers.
They're both angel numbers.
Is it more angelic the more in a row? So,
yes.
So even though 11, 11 and 1,111 are both comprised fundamentally, visually, of four ones, one of those is more angelic than the other.
Exactly.
Okay.
The more ones or now the more of any of these digits, the more angelic.
So
it intensifies the power.
When you start with double digit numbers, there's a real diminishing return point. Even if 11 is a master number, the more ones you get, the better off you are starting with ones instead of 11. For example, if I have four 11s in a row, I've got eight ones in a row.
Mm.
That's so many more times angelic.
Yes. You are literally glistening from how angelic you are from those ones.
I'm so glad I started stacking ones the other day.
So 11, like 111 or 1,111. So we're talking 111 or 1111.
Yeah.
Is a powerful manifestation figure. If you encounter these, you should relish the opportunity to make a wish, set an intention, or plant a seed. 222 or 2222 suggests balance, trust, and alignment. 333 or 3333. Three is an indication of magnetic creativity.
Okay.
Noticing three as an angel number could mean that you have the opportunity to add your unique talents and abilities to a situation. 4444 or 4444 symbolizes stabilization. That's all they said. 5555 or 55555
or Daft Punk's Interstellar 55555.
That's too many fives.
But it's a great movie.
I don't care, Michelle.
Okay. Well, it's a pretty good movie. We should watch it and jam out. Just have a good time.
Jam out.
Smoke a couple J's.
Doobies.
Just have a good time.
Five suggests the presence that major changes could be on the horizon.
Oh.
If you see a series of six, this could be because of religious associations with the devil.
Oh.
Seven.
So it's a bad angel number.
Is a lucky.
I guess Satan is a bad angel.
Yes. Seven is as lucky in angel numbers as it is in the casino. Experiencing seven as an angel number means that good fortune, especially finance-wise, could be on the way.
Nothing more holy than the casino. So wait, does it say anything about negatives? Because it's
saying, these are angel numbers.
I know, but it's saying 777 is really good money-wise. Mm. So in my bank account, if I saw this morning, it said minus 777, that's still really good?
It's financially positive,
That's still really good?
Yeah, because it's not like minus eight.
Okay, because when I told Brooke about it, she was so stressed out.
888 or 88888 could reflect a connection to the spiritual universe. It is apparently one of the most divine numbers.
Oh, eight?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that coming.
Extra divine.
Look, that's a twist and a half.
And nines signify that the presence of a nine suggests a chapter may be coming to an end.
What about zeros?
Nah.
No zeros?
Nah. Oh, no, yeah.
Hey, there we go.
If you witness Zero in a sequence, you're at the very beginning of a brand new cycle. Crazy that Zero is the beginning of a cycle and nine is the end of a chapter.
Okay, so because it's the same symbol, what if it's an O? Like, if I go, ooh, that, is that the sign of a new chapter?
That's a sign of astonishment and wonder.
It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something.
So have you learnt a lot today and do you feel extra angelic?
Have I learnt a lot today? I have heard new information I didn't know before.
Uh-huh.
Do I feel more angelic? I feel probably as angelic as I did before.
Okay.
I think, to be honest. Do you feel...
So you're not glistening because you're angelic. You're just glistening because you're breaking out into a sweat right now.
I'm so glad you could notice. I think that's more to do with the minus 777 in my bank account.
Yeah. So anyway, the film.
We're like 40 minutes in.
Comments, concerns, thoughts, shall we move on?
Most of my notes were, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And then I have, oh, so the priest brother is Jesus. We already talked about that. And then, oh, with the bit where he turns around and one of the spooky ghoul boys was there, I said, oh, a spooky ghoul boy. And then I put, oh, he's gone, because he then was gone.
Aw.
Well, I was like, oh, something's going to happen in the movie. And then it didn't.
Yeah, no.
This movie continued to promise something could happen and then would instead go, psych, gotcha, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like the middle of the movie, sorry, the end of the movie is like a good midpoint for a different movie. Or like a good backstory for a different movie.
But that is the case with all of these horror films. Usually by the time it ends, you're like, oh, that's the setup of a good movie.
Yeah.
And it's over.
Yeah.
Because they've wasted an hour and a half getting there.
There was a lot I felt similar to this in Wounds. You know, I had the same feeling of like, I cannot follow what the fuck is going on.
Wounds was a really like the epitome of the kind of film we forget in this podcast, you know? Like just terrible. It's always a brunette American actor with a girlfriend or partner that dies or hates him. And then he is haunted by the visions of spooky beings.
Yeah, well, that one was fucking Dakota Johnson got Winklevossed instead of Sean Parker as he got increasingly sweaty the entire... I filter everything I understand through The Social Network as he just got increasingly sweaty. I think that's the thing that was missing from 11-11-11. He didn't get sweaty enough.
Yeah. Unlike you, glistening.
I'm getting paid for this, right?
No, you're getting charged an extra $7 for this.
Oh my god.
But it's an angel number.
But if it's minus, is it a devil number? A demon number?
Yes.
Oh no.
So I love how every single number is technically an angel number, you know? They're all just angel numbers. They just have
12?
To be in succession. No, it stops
at
9.
You said every single number.
It stops at 9. I recant. I take it back.
Just so immediate.
I am full of bad takes tonight. I'm feeling controversial.
I can count all the numbers that aren't angel numbers if you so wish.
Oh, yeah, please.
10.
Mm-hmm.
12.
Mm.
13.
Mm.
14.
Mm.
15.
Mm.
But you didn't see this coming. 16.
Mm-hmm.
17.
Yeah.
Check it out. 18.
Whoa.
19.
Whoa.
20.
Whoa.
21.
Whoa.
Give it a pause. 23.
Whoa.
Starring Jim Carrey.
Keep going.
No, thank you.
Guys, Brooke just walked into this amazing recording, serving us browned butter cookies.
Like an angel.
Angel floating in with... Oh, no, we're not done. Keep going.
No. The thing is, when you start... I realized when you name every number but the master numbers, you're creating a perfect master angel number space that is the same amount. What is something if not the absence of everything but it?
Ooh.
Negative space is still space.
Ooh.
If I make an 11-shaped hole, have I not just drawn 11?
Ooh, all right, Wittgenstein. Peel it back.
Victor Frankenstein?
No.
Victor Frankenstein?
No, Wittgenstein is his monster. It's actually Wittgenstein's monster. That's how I refer to the philosopher.
Sorry. I should be more funny, but I'm so thrown by
how funny I am. I get it.
Yeah, I was just like, holy shit, how do I even keep up?
Move it on, Michelle. Move it on. Oh, wait, it's my episode.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, look, listeners, I don't have a lot to say about this one.
I think we gotta go.
I think we gotta keep going.
Yeah, we gotta.
We gotta move on.
Yeah.
We paused. We lingered for 3 whole minutes. So it's time to wrap it up. Do you want to hear some trivia?
I think I've said literally every thought I had about the movie. IMDb
trivia. Here's some trivia. The cast and crew experienced several unexplainable occurrences throughout the shoot.
Okay.
Including an apparition of a woman hanging from a ceiling.
Okay.
And multiple crew members dropping out after seeing demons.
Oh.
I tried to find extra info on this. I could not.
Because it didn't happen.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it definitely didn't happen.
That was just the director trying to add something spicy to the trivia section.
100%. Absolutely.
Have you gone on a ghost tour, Michelle?
No, I haven't. We talked about this like 4 times recently.
Oh, did we? I think we did. On the podcast?
Didn't
otherwise,
you ask
it doesn't
me
count.
To tell a spooky story and I didn't have one, and then you told you going on a ghost tour, and then you saw like a spooky light on a hill, and you were like, it was probably some guy.
Did we say that in the podcast?
I think we did, yeah.
Oh, bummer.
And then you told the story about the spooky house and it was Nick Cage's house.
Oh, Madame Lalaurie.
Yeah, yeah. We said like 2 or 3 times on the podcast, I think.
Fuck.
There's like 100 episodes between them, so hopefully they'll forgive us.
Yeah, hopefully people just dropped out and didn't listen ever again. So think people that are listening now won't be able to tell.
Yeah, I like to think, you know what? I actually neither hope that people start at the beginning or the end of the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
I hope people just pick an episode and start there.
Mm, me too. I hope it's not this one.
If you're this deep in the episode, it's your first one. Let me tell you, some of them are better.
Yeah. And Michelle, by the way, the reward for getting through this episode is eating Brooke's delicious cookies.
I'm so keen.
I'm so keen too. Here's the second and last piece of trivia. Have you heard of Chris Stuckman?
Why does that name sound familiar?
He's a famous film critic and reviewer. Okay. Like, he made a lot of YouTube videos and now he's like quite famous as a film reviewer.
Stuckman?
Well, 11 years ago, basically not long after this came out, he did do, I think he actually did it the year it was released, or not long after. Probably would have been like 2012 when he did the review. He made a YouTube video, like a 5-minute review, and it was just him really just tearing it apart, being like, this is the worst film I've seen all year, I give it an F. At one point, he like dressed up as one of the ghouls and just reenacted what they do to scare you in the film. And it was really funny. It was a good review. So he just tore it to shreds. And that review got like a stupid amount of like watches on YouTube. Like, I think when I checked it out today and I watched the whole thing. So yeah, Chris Stuckman's movie review rant got around 200,000 views on YouTube. And apparently, according to this, after his unfavorable review, the director, Darren Lynn Bousman, sent him a Facebook message thanking him for the review and how much it amused him. And I can't tell if that's salty or sweet.
I think it's sweet.
Nice.
I think it's sweet. Yeah. It sounds like this guy's made like other movies and is probably aware of the kind of thing.
Saw.
Yeah, yeah. But I think he's aware of what he's making. Surely. I think if you make something this bad, you either become the most bitter person, in which case you're not wry in your bitterness, you're much more obvious about it, or you kind of self-actualize and you're like, yeah, it's kind of a piece of crap.
Also, what the fuck? Sorry, I just realized that apparently also, in 2011, another horror film was released called 11-11-11.
I saw that when I was trying 11 to find
11/11/11.
Yeah, when I was trying this movie, it was also like in brackets called Asylum or something.
Yeah, it says it is the Asylum's mockbuster equivalent.
Oh.
To Darren Lynn Bousman's 11/11/11. It's also a knockoff of The Omen.
Well, they made that fucking fast.
Yeah, how did they pump that out so quickly?
What the fuck?
Bizarre. Anyway, the amount that this film grossed, yeah, it was $5.7 million.
Wow.
I couldn't find the budget. I don't know how much they made it on, but that's how much it made at the box office.
Given that it was just like two guys in a bunch of rooms, I am gonna guess less than $5 million.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe
yeah.
Like 2 or 3.
The shots in Spain probably were the, you know.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's cheaper to shoot in Spain.
Actually, yeah, maybe it is.
Also, maybe they didn't shoot it in Spain.
Yeah, they probably just got some B-roll footage of like the cathedrals. More like done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Done and dusted.
We'll get Kyle to take the camera over to Spain and he'll just shoot some wide shots.
Yeah. Do you want to hear some reviews?
Yes, please.
Reviews! How much do you reckon this has on Rotten Tomatoes, Michelle?
Oh, 3%.
generous. No, it's seven. 7%.
Seven.
Yeah.
So,
but you were close.
Good fortune.
Good fortune. David Fear of Time Out wrote, if the ineffectiveness knob goes up to 10, this film manages to turn it up to you know what.
11. Nice.
John Anderson left this review for Variety. 1 and 1 and 1 and 1 and 1 and 1 never quite add up to 2. Alison Wilmore.
I like that one. I like that one.
Alison Wilmore of Movie Line said, the film has the feel of something conceived and whipped together in very little time, perhaps to make its own built-in deadline, which is often the case with the films that we see. And Jeff Beck left the review with 11-11-11. Darren Lynn Bousman is merely insulting the audience with this poor excuse for a plot and its ludicrous ending. Severe. Now, Michelle, usually we like to pull out the silliest positive reviews we can find on IMDb.
Yeah.
But it occurred to me today that as the list gets lower and lower, we will struggle to find those.
Yeah, we have.
I enjoyed this so little. I could, and I think other people did, that I could barely find any positive reviews at all. There was one 10 out of 10 and it wasn't very interesting. Nine out of 10s was very good.
One we did recently where I had to, like, my second review of it was like a 4 out of 10 because that was the next highest review.
Yeah, yeah. This is a 1 out of 10 review.
Wow.
Left by Jacob John Taylor.
Wow.
Called This Is Awful. This is about a guy who buys a how and find the gate hell are in his backyard.
What?
And a demon came after him. This could have been a good movie if it had a good storyline? Question mark. It did not. It had an awful storyline. It was not scary. It has an awful ending. 4 is not a good rating. But this movie is so bad the 4 is overrating it. Good actor wasted. Their talent being awful movie. I can believe the same man who directed Repo, the genetic opera, Repo, the genetic opera, made this crap.
Wait, is it?
Yeah.
What?
What's Repo, the genetic opera?
Oh my God. It's a fucking insane cult classic.
Oh.
We're deep enough in that I genuinely don't want to derail with it. I'll just show you stuff about it afterwards. Cool. But that movie's insane in a good way.
Okay.
It's camp and ridiculous.
Then again, he also did make Saw 2. And this, I would have to say, is better than Saw 2. And I hate it. Do not waste time. Do not waste money. Do not see this movie. This is one very bad. This is one very bad horror movie. 1 out of 10.
Okay, that man's having a relationship with his keyboard that no one else can fathom. But I love the energy of going, if it had a different story, it would be better. Yeah. That's true.
Here is a review left by Mick Landl called Negative 10, and it's a 1 out of 10 review.
Oh my God.
Probably the most stupid movie I ever seen, lol. Don't watch it, lol. Low budget film and horrible acting. Effects are ridiculous. Story is lame as fuck. But I think you'd want to watch it till the end just to see how stupid it can get. Negative 10. And this last one was left by Amira Daniel 44178. And it was called Bad
Movies.
With like 26 A's.
Wow.
1 out of 10 review. Very, very bad. I did not see a bad film like this. I did not see a bad costs like this. I do not know how they are thinking. I did not see a bad film like this. I did not see a bad film like this. What the wrong with you? Is it bad story? Also, everything was very, very bad. 1 out of 10. So that was that person's review. What's yours, Michelle?
Did
you think it was bad?
Yeah, I mean,
we've never talked about a film less, by the way,
yeah,
in an episode.
With the exception, I think, of Besmois.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a movie. This is a movie with a story-shaped hole in it.
Mm.
Right? Like, this is a movie that experiments with the complete absence of something called intelligibility, you know, an experiment that was then continued by the last thing he wanted.
Yeah. Don't mention that film.
And I think in that it succeeded. You know, I
succeeded. Have you watched Succession?
Oh,
it's so good.
Shiv Roy. Wormsgans. It's a zero. I don't think I need to elaborate.
Great.
We've talked. There's like 130 episodes.
Why waste more of your life on this film, Michelle?
There's 130 episodes or 170 episodes, I think, at this point, of me attempting to concoct increasingly different
don't bother
analogies for what a movie is like when it's not very good or boring.
It's so bad. I think that review actually nailed it.
Yeah.
Great. I agree. 0 out of 10. It's bad. I will never remember this film ever. Like, I will never remember it. It's one of those films that I've just committed to forgetting.
Yeah. I still remember Siberia.
I don't. And I was actually just thinking about the Keanu Reeves films that we watched and how I erased those as well.
But that's the thing. I'm going to remember. I still think of it. I'm never going to think of this again.
Yeah. It's gone. What film were we talking about?
Bloop. Huh?
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 Well, who? Guys.
Huh?
That's it.
Okay, boo-boo.
You can follow us on social media. Did you know that? We have accounts everywhere.
Ooh.
All over the place. You could follow us today. We're on Twitter at RateDescendPod. We're on TikTok at RatingDescending.
Yeah.
Or you could email us at RatingDescending@gmail.com. We love the emails.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lil John.
Hi. Have I done, as a special treat, have I done my one of my favorite bits on this podcast? Lil John gets invited to brunch and then, Lil John overhears his friends are going to brunch and then realizes that he's not invited. Okay. Oh, okay. You may laugh now.
Yeah, no, I already have. Yeah. That was great.
If you enjoyed Lil John thinks he's invited to brunch and then realizes he isn't, then you can find us on our own social media. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at michelle.stclair.
Or you can follow me on Instagram under Abigail J. Ward.
Or if you enjoyed that so much, you were like, fuck, that was good. I wish there was another way I could express that, aside from telling my friends, a thing I've already done. Well, you could give us a 5-star review on wherever you get your podcasts. I mean, let's be honest, Apple Podcasts or Spotify, most of them don't have star ratings.
Yeah.
Or I think Podchaser.
Oh, no, they do. They do have star ratings.
Some of them do.
Spotify does.
That's right. I said Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Oh, right.
But there's many places you can get your podcasts.
Yeah. It really makes a difference.
It really makes a difference.
Well, that was that, and I'm glad it's behind us because now we can eat these delicious cookies that Brooke has left for us. Michelle, what are we watching next week?
Jeepers Creepers 3.
Ooh, have you watched Jeepers Creepers 1?
No.
I watched it as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, and it spooked the shit out of me as a kid.
Yeah, did you watch it and go, oh, Jeepers Creepers?
Truly, it was like one of the things I would always rent during Halloween.
Wow.
Like, it was like always on the list when I'd rent, like,
I think it's one of my, like, mentally, like, go-to movies when I think about slashers from the late 90s / early 2000s that are emblematic of why I thought I didn't like horror fundamentally as a genre.
Fair enough.
I think it's the antithesis of what I get out of the movie.
Well, hopefully it's better than 11-11-11, but according to the list, it's not. See you then.
Well, yeah.
Bye.